Good morning, listeners. This is Caroline from the City Mission, bringing you our second-to-last Faith in Crisis radio program. During this half hour, we'll be discussing one more element of the City Mission's ministry, our Resource Center. The Resource Center is a critical piece to everyone's recovery and stability as they move on from our Crossroads and Laura's Home programs. Today, we have our Crossroads Resource Center manager to talk through how clients can find income and housing coming from a wide range of backgrounds and skills. Justin, welcome to the program. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Well, my name is Justin Ross, and I'm the Resource Center Supervisor at the Crossroads program here at the City Mission at the 55th and Carnegie site. I've been here about 3.5, coming up on 4 months, so I'm fairly new to the role. 4 years ago, I interned in the case management office there, and so I did a lot of intakes, working a lot directly with the men as they come into the shelter. So now I'm upstairs, a little bit more removed from the immediate contact, but I get a lot of traffic in there of guys who come in. So that's what I do.
Well, thanks for taking the time to be here with us today. I know they keep you busy over there. So why don't we talk about the basics of the Resource Center program? How does it work? What's a day in the life for you and our clients?
The Resource Center is, it looks like a computer lab, but it functions in a lot of ways kind of like a community room where guys can come in and they have access. We have 9 computer stations right now. They can, to a certain extent, they have free rein in terms of what they can do. A lot of them are working on getting housing, looking for jobs. Some of them are checking email. Other things like that. That's kind of the computer portion of it. There's also a lot of, I kind of gather literature from various organizations in the city. So I'm visiting a lot of sites that are not here at 55th and Carnegie and looking at, different things in terms of medical, transportation. So I kind of view it as I'm their contact point with the outside world. So we do that. We have a phone in there that they can use. A lot of guys come in to use the phone. But we open at 10, and usually it's a lot slower in the morning because guys are in program hours, picks up towards the afternoon. Usually we're pretty much booking by about 2 o'clock. We're pretty much full. Guys are in there waiting to use the phone. We have a depleted library of books that guys will sometimes read. It's not a huge priority, but we got a couple guys that come in and will read in there, stuff like that. We have volunteers that come in. We've got one guy comes in twice a week, and he does specifically math tutoring. And so when there's demand for that, he'll do that. But other times he'll just help out with other things. So we've got probably about 3 regular volunteers that come in on a weekly basis that will do that. So that's usually about a day in the life of the Resource Center. From things that don't happen every day is we have a work prep class in the Resource Center, and that's about a 6-session work prep workshop it really comes at things from a biblical perspective, kind of gives the overall view of how work fits into God's kingdom and God's agenda for the world, and then it goes into character issues and more specifics that you'd find in a more typical work prep class, like resume, interviewing skills, and stuff like that.
That truly is busy, and such a wide range of skills that they're learning there. Now, how do you explain the topic of vocation from a biblical perspective to our clients? Since the City Mission is faith-based, I think it's an interesting conversation to have to try to explain what the Bible says about work and how we should be conducting ourselves in it.
Yeah. So work and vocation, I use the CFRR model, Creation, Fall, Redemption, and Restoration, and really try to plug work into that big picture in terms of God creates everything. He creates work as a part of the Garden of Eden. He creates work as if something that's good. And so I use the phrase that work is not a curse, but it is cursed, and how that's only one letter, but it's actually very significant. And so starting to see that it's a good thing, but that through the fall, it really has been cursed, and it's become incredibly difficult to find jobs, keep jobs, find enjoyment in your job, have fruitfulness through your job, not feel like it's just futility. And so there's all these curses that come and impact the fall, or impact the work of guys. But then through the work of Christ, that is restored, that's redeemed, and it's able now to be restored. And now we're in that final phase where we're seeing Jesus's redemption restore all things, including people's work. And that Jesus actually wants to use our work to restore all things. So I really try to pitch that in the first lesson, and guys seem to really appreciate that a lot. It's probably my favorite session, is to really go into the theology of work and try to show that work's really a good thing.
So we've heard from our program managers at Laura's Home and Crossroads that people come to the City Mission for a variety of reasons, and some of them are very surprising. So could you describe to us what men and women are coming to us with in terms of life skills and work experience?
Well, all over the place. So some guys have an incredible array of experiences. We've got guys that have run their own kitchens as head chefs. We've got business and financial advisors. We've got guys that have decades of experience as painters or contractors. We had a guy who worked for the same pipe fitters union for like 60 years. And so like making his resume, it's like there's only one thing on his resume. But it's, you know, a lot of good experience. So there's that element. Then there's guys that really don't have a lot of experience, or they have just, it's all over the place. There's gaps all over employment. They've been in and out of the penitentiary. There's gaps from drug use, gaps from being homeless. And so a lot of times it is a kind of grab bag of entry level, just random stuff. And then there's other guys that really don't have any experience at all. Maybe a few years as a janitor. You know, some guys are coming out of prison after, you know, 5, 10, 20 years. And so it's like trying to identify what they did in prison and how that translates into work experience, even though they weren't getting paid for it. So it's all over the place, and that's one of the things that makes the work prep class so difficult, is that some guys are looking for work, some guys actually aren't looking for work, some guys are not able to work. And so trying to show that God's work really connects with anybody, whether you have a job with benefits or not, or whether you're even looking for that, because those backgrounds are just so all over the place.
So you started to talk about this in your last answer, but the reality that I think is hard to explain is that some men and some women will not be able to find work because of physical or mental disabilities. How can we best assist them in the resource center?
Well, that's really difficult. I think when a guy is not able to work, usually he's either planning on retirement, you know, the guy I mentioned with the pipe fitters, you know, because he's been there so long, he's got retirement coming in, he's kind of getting that set up. Those are the easy ones when they're not planning to work. Guys that are physically unable to work, or guys that are mentally unable to work, is where it gets very difficult. So, you know, you kind of start to navigate through, well, can they get housing that is supplemented through vouchers or supplemented through, you know, federal aid of some kind? Or, you know, can they get SSI, you know, Social Security coming in, which a lot of times they are able to. Some of the guys have Social Security coming in while they're here at the mission because it's not really that much. You know, you get Social Security and it's like $700 a month, and that's not really realistic unless you've got also federally, you know, approved housing that's low income, you know. So it can be very difficult when the guy's not able to work and he is kind of reliant on a lot of, you know, getting Social Security, navigating that. And a lot of that side, I think our caseworkers really focus more on in terms of kind of the one-on-one. Like, I don't have a class on how to navigate Social Security and that sort of thing. But I am, you know, in the work prep class, I'm taking note of who could be, who's a worker, who's really not probably going to work. And then there's some of the borderline guys who have learning disabilities, but they're really interested in working and they're able to work, but they just don't have the communication skills, because there's a lot of social cues and social skills that you need to be able to get a job, you know. And a guy who in his interview just immediately starts talking about how he's addicted to drugs and alcohol and he thinks he's being open, it's like, you know, you're not supposed to do that in an interview, like, you know. So those guys, we do have a group called Vocational Guidance Services that they focus more specifically on developmental issues and getting work through that.
That's a really interesting answer. And I imagine that variety in backgrounds and skill sets provides some challenges for you. Could you describe what some of those challenges look like?
Yeah, I would say the biggest challenge I'm realizing is the digital wall that has been created in our society. You know, we've created this sort of digital world of internet access, email, everything is online, passwords for everything. And so because of security, there's so many password requirements, there's so many identification requirements. And if you're inside that wall, it's a helpful thing and it keeps your information protected. But if you're outside that wall and you don't have access to those digital passwords, if you're not used to, like, you have to have the same capital letter in your password every single time you put it in, that creates a huge barrier that there's very little, like, research on. There's very little, like, because it is so new, it's this massive barrier. So we've started to adopt this this online program called Future Edge, which is through Capital One, created this online program to try to bridge digital skills. But even that's really hard because it's, some guys don't know how to use a keyboard, they don't know how to do this, that, or the other. But yeah, making sure that guys get emails, they understand what an email is, they know how to at least keep a password. That's a huge barrier, and it's incredibly time-consuming. Just like how you use a mouse, you know, it's incredible how you can get stuck in password verification loops where it's like they don't remember their password, but their verified cell phone that they get the confirmation code to doesn't work anymore. And so you got to create a new email account. But in order to have an email account, and this has just happened with Gmail, you have to have a verifiable cell phone number to create a Gmail account. So it's just all of these, like, digital walls that we've created that I think is one of the things I've been noticing as the biggest barrier, I think, up in the resource center.
That's so interesting. I'm glad you talked about that.
Yeah. And even like this digital skills class, it's on the computer, which is, if you've got a tiny amount of experience with a computer, it's really helpful. But if you don't have any, it's kind of insane. Like, we're going to have a computer class on the computer. It's like, so I'm teaching them how to use the computer so they can learn how to use the computer.
Justin, what would you define as your overall goal for those men and women who come to the Resource Center looking for help for their future? Whether that be through advancing their life skills, earning their GED, or looking for those long-term income and housing options? And along with that, are there any fringe benefits you hope that clients take away as they leave the Resource Center and go out to start their new lives?
So in the Resource Center, I really just want, initially, I want people to be able to relax up there. You know, guys are in the day room, which is like a concrete bunker. Essentially, it's just everything is concrete. There's, you know, guys just sit in there for hours. And, you know, you don't have to be in the program, like in the sort of long-term program, to come up to the Resource Center. So a lot of times guys will come up, they'll be like, oh, I didn't know this was up here. You know, sometimes they'll pull Christmas music up there, you know, or, you know, a little this or that. And so I really want it to be a place where guys can relax and, you know, I try not to have a lot of overly stringent rules, and keep it pretty informal. And so I think that's helpful. So that's one of my initial, desires. Also, you know, I want to see guys get jobs. You know, I want to see guys open up and be more willing to be relational, you know, and just get more solidified kind of holistically. You know, guys who are going to church, guys who are willing to stay connected with the mission after they leave, you know. And that's kind of my hope.
If someone is hearing this and they think that might be the place for me to serve and to get involved with the city mission, how can they help? What are some of the most important roles that you have a need for at this time? I know there's a really exciting program that you're launching in 2018 that has to do with financial mentorship. So maybe you could speak to that specifically.
Ways people can get involved in the Resource Center. If you are interested in help in walking with guys and helping them learn, they're very open. We're very open in terms of how we can use volunteers. You know, we need help in terms of navigating the computer aspect, just people to help the guys that need a lot of help. Because if you have four guys in a room that don't know how to use a computer at all, you're just running back and forth, back and forth. And if anybody has any other issues or the phone rings, it's just you can't do anything. So that's definitely something, you know, I'm always open to hear and look at workshops, kind of one-off or every now and then kind of workshops on just about anything. You know, I've been trying to get in, get the Legal Aid Society to come and talk about how to clear your record and those sorts of things. You know, So, I mean, it's kind of like what, you know, somebody in crisis needs a lot of different things. And so I'm interested in hearing about, you know, opportunities through a workshop type of model or through just coming and being there regularly. It helps me to have more flexibility in my schedule so that I'm not just tied to help guys with stuff that I've helped guys on for like 100 times already, you know. Newer way of being able to help is through our Faith and Finances ministry that we're getting started. And Faith and Finances is a ministry we're in collaboration with the Chalmers Center for Economic Development, which is through Covenant College. And they are an organization that specifically wants the church to be able to, with wisdom and understanding, walk with the poor and form relationships. They're very relationally based. So they have a curriculum called Faith and Finances, and it's a 12-session curriculum that is specifically designed for low-income learners. There's a lot of, it's very low-tech, There's a lot of, almost from like an oral culture, there's not a lot of high content, technical, financial information, but it's very much teaching God's vision for finances, kind of from that big picture, like I was talking about with the work aspect. So the way that you can be connected with that ministry is to volunteer to be what they call an ally, which is really a mentor, someone that comes to these courses and listens to the same content, but also is able to, with another one of our clients, able to work on a spending plan or help them get connected with a bank account or help them pull up their credit report and look at how they can start to manage that, but to really relationally be able to connect to them. So right now we have it scheduled to start January 8th, I believe, which is the Tuesday, or that might be the January 9th, but it's the first, it's that Tuesday, and right now it's Tuesday and Thursday from 10 to 11:30. I'm hoping to get that pushed into the evening once a week, which is really what the curriculum's designed for. But for right now, it's in the morning. So if you're available, do come to our Ally Mentoring Workshop, which is a training for how, like, best practices of mentoring. What does it mean culturally to walk with somebody that is in poverty when you might be more of a middle class person? There's a lot of good training. That's on January 6th, 8 a.m. here at the City Mission. If you want to get involved, email me at jross@thecitymission.org, or you can call in and ask for Justin.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. The Resource Center has to be one of the best options for building long-term relationships with our clients. Now, if somebody's intimidated by that, but they do want to get involved, how would you encourage them? What do you enjoy most about working in the Resource Center?
I enjoy having and seeing guys start to open up a little bit and start to talk to me about their lives or their situations. You know, a lot of times I think just being willing to listen to their rambling story is the best thing that you can offer them. And just hearing them, looking them in their eyes and listening, stopping, looking at your email and turning to look at them, you know. I think we overestimate the big things, the big organizational structural things that we can do, and we underestimate the little tiny acts that are really the love of God that come through and really touch the person as a human, and not touch them as a problem or as a crisis individual, but just like, you're a human. Humans look at each other when they talk, they listen. You know, there's all these normal things that we can do. I really like seeing that happen in the Resource Center.
Yeah, that's super impactful. Do you have any specific stories that demonstrate what you enjoy and what the Resource Center is all about? It's such a unique part of our ministry here at the Mission, and I love some concrete examples about the things that have been accomplished.
Yeah, I think there are guys who have identified me as more of a safe person, and so I can tell that they are more relaxed. This one kid, he was only there for like 2 weeks, but he came in and was just like, I think he heard me in chapel one day, and he came up and was like, you know, I need a teacher. I need someone to teach me, like, about God. Do you have any, like, just, like, teach me? And I was like, go read this chapter of the Bible. And he was like, I'm going to do it. And so those random, because some of the best relationships are guys that come in, they're just trying to figure out their life, but then they leave. I mean, because they got other things going on, so they leave within a few weeks.
Those are some fantastic examples. Thank you for sharing. Okay, we're wrapping up our time here. And the last thing I want to ask you, Justin, is how would you like to see the church at work in the Resource Center? There are a ton of ways to get involved and volunteer, but what specifically would it mean for Christians to step up in this area of vocation and the future and help our clients figure out what their path is?
I mean, these guys need relationships. They don't need another large organization plugging them in with a caseworker. Now, that's good. That's great to connect them to services and programs. But these guys need people that actually care about them. They actually care about their lives. They're willing to not try to fix them. They're willing to just walk with them and be with them. You know, and that's what I want to see the resource center be, is to connect guys to the resource of community, to connect them to the resource of actual relationships. You know, and it's a daunting thing to come in and be like, I'm going to form a relationship with somebody that I don't know, and I don't know what his issues are, and I don't know how, is he dangerous, and this, that, and the other. But the gospel doesn't come into the world unless you do that, you know. Coming to, you know, help in other ways is good, and it's easier, and it's safer, but what they need is for people to care about them, to be willing for things to get messy, to walk with them. I mean, that's what they need, poverty in relationships. You know, because if I lose my job today and I don't have any money, I call up somebody that I know, and they're going to help me out, right? If you saw on the news that your son or your daughter was in the City Mission day room, you'd probably come down and get them. And so that'd be a relationship that would pull that person out of poverty. And the problem with these men is that their relationships have been burned. They've been, you know, for various reasons. So that's my passion. That's what I want to see the church do. I think that's what God has put the church here to do. That's what I'd love to see.
Thanks, Justin. This was a really great conversation, and I hope eye-opening in terms of what success looks like for each one of our clients. Hopefully some of our listeners will choose to become involved with the Resource Center in the future, especially in the financial mentorship program we just discussed. If any of you are interested, please visit us at www.thecitymission.org and check out our volunteer page for more information. That's it for us today. Tune in next week, Thursday at 10 a.m., for a final special Christmas episode of our show. God bless you all as you prepare and travel for the holidays. This has been Faith in Crisis, a program produced by the City Mission. Enjoy the rest of your day.